Go for it.
Friggin' what up, dude? Strider Wilson, and I'm the host of this podcast that's mine. Gonna be called History Is Dying.
History is dying with Strider Wilson. Is from the
past. Friggin' what up, dude? It's going down. Welcome back to another ep of History Is Dank. Dude, I'm your host, Strider Wilson, just fired up for this ep, dude. We got Aaron beasting it on the sticks, dude. What up, Aaron?
What up?
Dude, just freaking chilling, dude. Stoked that you're back from Vegas, dude. Yeah. Love that you were in Vegas. Sickest city in the world, dude. Just taking back a yard of booze. You know what? I love that you mentioned that they measure booze in yards. You know, I like using measurement, you know, units of measurement that you wouldn't expect for shit, you know. Classic thing is, you know, when you're road tripping with your boys, like, dude, how long does it take to get to Havasu? I think like probably like 112 pack, you know. And then some schmoles gonna be like, well, how many hours is that? Well, how many bros are freaking in the back of the car? You know, we could get there fucking light speed if it's my boy Jake back there, dude. My boy Jake, dude, I'll talk about him enough, dude. He's got DUIs on every single device. He got a DUI on a skateboard, dude. 2 boating DUIs. Here's the thing. You get a DUI driving a car, heavily condoned. Don't like it. Not good. Boating? All right. We're talking very dangerous. Also not good, but okay, you live in a lifestyle. Let me hear the story. Let me hear the story. You know? On a jet ski, dude. Just by himself. He's like, look, dude, I needed to house a freaking, I had to have an adios, motherfucker. I was in, you know, you don't get DUIs in Cabo. They let you rent ATVs 8 beers deep. Just, you know, be careful, kids. For the kids listening, don't do these things. I'm saying I've seen them done. And, you know, still lucky that Jake's with us to this day, you know. Works at Enterprise Rent-A-Car, funny enough. He's the guy who picks you up. Yeah. Yeah, true story. Look out, dude. Dude, my fantasy football season's going so bad, Aaron.
That was my experience.
Yeah, I really suck. I've got 0 wins, dude. Yeah, dude. I'm about to go 0-7 this week. Really sad about it. But here's the thing, dude. You got to find the silver lining in life. And dude, I'm getting into other shit, dude. Aaron, I'm doing rewarding shit, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, me and my dang fiance, we're planting seeds, dude. We're growing wildflowers on our balcony. That's sick. You know, I started writing a poem the other day. I just was like, I'm going to write down some thoughts. I started like rhyming and shit. It was so tight. You know, we got a portrait of Sunny. I'm playing around with where that's going to live in our space. And I'm getting into bridges, dude. I like civil engineering now, dude. That's what I'm into, dude. I like to read up on it. I like feats of architecture, dude. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm into. Trains is probably next for me. You know, I like that type of stuff. Yeah, just really getting in. I might go to a museum on Sunday, just where ordinarily I'd be watching about 8 hours of football, talking to no one, neglecting my family and loved ones. Now I'm going to invite, you know, maybe I'll invite my niece. You want to go to a train museum? That sounds like a great time. And the dividends are being paid for because today's episode is a dank-ass episode about the most, I would argue, famous bridge in the world. I mean, definitely in this country. I can't really, like, I can name some other bridges. By the way, St. Louis is a sick city for bridges, Aaron.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I like the bridges there. But that's not the city that this bridge is from. Also, before we get into episode, you know, sorry about your cards. You know, hey, here our Dodgers got cooked. I mean, who are you are you just not even watching the Padres and Phillies? Do you hate them both?
I do hate them both. I'm pretty much not watching this.
What about the Yankees? I mean, it might be nice just to see the...
No.
Yeah, you're right. They got too many. You're just out.
I would have rather... Yeah, if Cleveland had won, I'd be all in on them. You know?
Aaron, well, let me tell you something. There's some pretty cool bridges I can tell you about.
That's where they got the Guardians online from.
You watch old-time YouTube bridge construction videos? Oh, I'll do that for about 6 hours on Sunday. That's a great time. Enjoying a decaf coffee, just doing that. Really having a nice time. I might invest in some Velcro shoes and just be a fucking grandpa, dude. You know, turn the clock forward, but I'm fired up, and I'm fired up today to talk about the gnarly construction and the insane working conditions of the construction of, Aaron, the most famous bridge in the world. Come on.
The Brooklyn Bridge?
No, fucking Brooklyn Bridge. It's a nice bridge. It's one of the older ones. It's older than this bridge, but baby, the Golden Gate Bridge.
Oh, okay.
Golden Gate Bridge, San Francisco. We're going to talk about it. Man versus nature. It's amazing, dude. It's a testament to progress. But before we get into talking about the dank Golden Gate Bridge, I have to remind you, and I have to give a fat, fat shout out to a sponsor for this week's episode, Dadgrass, dude. Always fired up on Dadgrass. Dadgrass is legal organic hemp that relaxes your body and mellows your mind. Dadgrass offers smokable pre-roll joints and CBD tinctures for those crispy autumn days. Dude, I'm all about the pre-rolls. I mean, here's the thing. The tinctures are legit, dude. You can put them in some of your pumpkin spice, you know, really. I'm also really into autumnal things right now, Aaron, since I'm not watching football. But I'll tell you, I'm all about the pre-rolls, especially when I'm going golfing with the boys. And right now, Dadgrass, they're offering listeners 20% off your first order at dadgrass.com/dank. Go to dadgrass.com/dank for 20% off your first order. That's dadgrass.com/dank. Also, you tired of those nasty hangovers? Why even struggle with hangovers ever again? Get rid of your hangovers with Adultolite Hangover Recovery within 30 minutes. Dude, I tried it. I went out the other day. I went out with my boy Nick, dude. We went out hard. We did it right. I came back. I had a delicious flavor, dude. I'm telling you right now, it was like mango. It was tropical mimosa, but they also got unicorn candy and lemony kick it. I like that name, dude. And I'm telling you right now, dude, Adultolite Hangover Recovery, it's a 3-in-1 formula for rapid hydration, liver protection, love that, and fast hangover recovery, dude. And believe me, dude, I'm the next day hangover guy, so this really fires me up to wake up feeling good after getting after it with the boys. So with right now, dude, get yourself, go to Adultolite, dude. They got a 100% money-back guarantee and 30% off with promo code DANK35. You've got nothing to lose. Check out adultolite.com and use your 35% discount code DANK35 now, adultolite.com. All right, let's talk about the freaking dank Golden Gate Bridge. The dank Golden Gate Bridge. Aaron, let me hit you with some facts real quick. Just these facts, dude. It's big. We're talking Joe's dick big, okay? Massive, dude. It's constructed over four years, 33 to 37, 1933 to 1937. The towers are an optimal height of 746 feet, dude. The chief engineer, this dude, Joseph Strauss, dude. I think he's like a nephew or something of Levi Strauss, dude. You know, the dude who supplied all the miners with blue jeans. So that's freaking sick, dude. I like that this Golden Gate Bridge has a background in fashion. I like fashion. I might even get into fashion next, dude. He's great, dude. He says, when you build a bridge, you build something for all time. He also was into poetry, dude. He was a smart ass dude, and he wrote poetry, dude. So that fires me up. He is an absolute beast and a freaking smart ass dude. The Golden Gate Bridge, just some quick facts before we get into it. It's a suspension bridge, spans how long it is, basically. It's 1.2 miles, all right? But the total length, like after the expansion, like where it hinges with the cables and stuff, is 1.7 miles. So it's a big ass bridge, dude. The width is 90 feet, okay, about 27 meters, dude. Not counting
the concrete.
What's that?
Sorry, have you walked it?
I've never walked it. I've driven on it.
Yeah, it takes like 45. So yeah, it's a substantial length.
They did like a big anniversary for it, and 300,000 people were on the bridge, and like it bent inward for a little bit, which is gnarly. But we'll get into some of the construction of this, and it's built to tolerate a lot. these cables, dude, like the big cables on there are actually like 27,000 like small tiny little wires that are then like hydraulically pressed together, and then there's like more wire that wraps around that, and then it's painted with like a thick paint to protect it from the elements, the seawater and stuff. So fucking gnarly, dude. Basically, you could wrap the cables that are wrapped around the Golden Gate Bridge could go around the earth three times. Oh, so wow, that's freaking gnarly. Or just Joe's Hog, half of a time.
That's, yeah, 75,000.
Cost 35 million bones to build in the 1930s, approximately 1.5 billion in the year 20. This website's from 2016. So, and dude, after the, you know, COVID and stuff, probably $3 billion now, dude. You know what I'm saying? So construction began January 5th, 1933, and it ended on May 29th, 1937, aka open to vehicular traffic. So it was safe to cross. So just some fun facts to give you a little, just to kick us off, let you know what we're talking about here. The height of the tower above the roadway, so this is like from where traffic is 500 feet. Above the water, it's 200, it's split the difference, like about 220 feet, 746 feet is the total height of it. So it's a fucking big ass bridge, dude. And I love that, dude. I love to look at it. I stare at it. I imagine, you know, the lives of the men who built it. And it's kind of what made me want to start researching this episode. And it's, you know, there's a lot, just going to the Bay Area. If you've ever been to the Bay Area, weather can change like that. You got fog. You've got a very tumultuous waters, heavy, strong, powerful currents in that bay, San Francisco Bay. And that where this is, part of it's exposed to the Pacific Ocean. The San Francisco side is, which is like the south side, then the Marin County side, which is what connects San Francisco to Marin County. But that south side of the bridge was very, very especially difficult, especially treacherous. But we'll get into how many, you know, fatalities and everything there were and the gnarly working conditions of the bridge. But first of all, let's just talk about like the straight up engineering, dude. So in order to build this fucking puppy, dude, I always go, how the hell do you build? Like, how do you build the tower like bases in water? Like, how is that even possible? How does that even happen, dude?
Yeah. And you have to balance on sharks.
Yeah, dude, they're sharks, bro. You know they're sharks. And this is the 30s, dude.
Yeah.
There's a dude whose job it was. This is the sickest thing. There's a dude, a group of dudes, whose job it was. They were professional divers. And this is like 1930s gear. So they're wearing those fucking, you know, men of honor suits. You know what I mean? Like heavy ass suits. Going down there.
The things you only see in fish tanks now.
Correct. There are decorations in fish tank. When you were at the dentist's office, you stare at that and you go, that's pretty tight. There's dudes that were wearing fish tank decoration suits, diving down in treacherous waters, fucking probably having to sock sharks in the eye, which is so sick, and laying bombs to blast through because the channel's like a couple hundred feet deep to get to the ocean floor at that point. But then that's just like sand and shit. They actually need to blast 50 more feet below that to get to the hard strata, which is what you need to build your foundation. And you can't build a foundation for a giant fucking bridge that weighs like 50 million pounds.
Well, that's some hard strata.
You need some hard, some 840 million pounds. Sorry, I was a little bit off. Also, a fact here before we get into working conditions. In this era, they had a calculation for every million pounds of steel that you were working with, it generally translated to one fatality for a worker. So you've got 840 million pound bridge. So it's like 840 dudes are going to die making this puppy. Let's try to curb that. Heavier than the Empire State Building. Dudes died building that. I'll do that next, dude. If you died, dude, and you fell down, they would just pour the cement right on you, dude. There was nothing they could do. There's like no means to get you out. But we'll get into how Joseph Strauss, he wanted to make this a very safe project. He wanted to keep the stoke up, which made me fired up. So these fucking dudes dive down there, bro. Imagine that's your day, dude. You wake up. Oh, hey, see you later, honey. Smooch, dude. Later, honey. Thanks for making the coffee. We can go fucking drop bombs over sharks' domes. We can go blast into hard strata today. It's like, dude, I cruise into work and I'm like, I'm gonna go park a Miata today. You know? So I'm just fired up on that. Just fired up on that level of skill. And speaking of skill, this is like coming. We're like Great Depression right now. So dudes would just lie. Like cab drivers would lie. Because like the steel industry is in Pennsylvania. In fact, one of the Bethlehem Steels, like who supplied all the steel and everything to make the bridge, they would pre-produce the pieces and then ship them over on the train. And then they'd bring them out in fucking giant ass boats and then bring them up on cranes. The operation was so gnarly. And then guys would be up there like putting it together, like basically Legos and stuff. And dudes would just lie. They'd be like, yeah, I've been a steel worker my whole life. And just get on the job. And what you do, basically you become like, they would find out quickly, like you have no fucking idea what you're doing, but they needed like a lot of dudes. And you would just be able to like finagle your way into joining the union, and dudes want at work, and they needed bodies. And you'd become like a rivet boy. Basically you'd work inside one of the towers. I know I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but we'll get back to the foundation. But you'd work like basically in pitch black darkness on the interior of the tower, because the tower's like all cell shaped and stuff. Because fucking Joseph Strauss, a smart ass dude, he's like, I want the bridge to be heavy, but not too heavy. And also I don't want to have to use that much steel. So I want to come up with a smart way that's also economical and efficient and safe. So you got to tackle all these things. And he creates this like cell structure, which is like very Lego-y, if you can think of that in your mind. And dudes would be inside of those fucking things, crawling up there and like having to rivet it. They use 600,000 rivets per tower. And they would like, there'd be a guy who like knew what he was doing and would get them like piping hot, throw them to a rivet boy who basically his job is just to play hot potato and not get burned, hold it there while another fucking dude like hammers it in and then twists it in, who knows what he's doing. And like those guys would just get tons of injuries, lose a fucking finger, burn yourself when the rivet falls in your lap or something like that. So just super gnarly, but it was desperate times, you know, and people needed jobs. Also, it's like one of those things where it's like, we always talk about job creators, like, look at the jobs I'm creating for the city. And it's like, dude, people came in and lied. Like actual steel workers did come out from Pennsylvania to work on this, but they wanted like part of the bill, like to get it built was like, oh, we'll have local workers do it. It's going to bring local jobs. It's like, yeah, that did for dudes that lied. And then also guys from the steel industry back in like Pennsylvania and the Northeast, they would lie and use social security numbers and addresses just to get the job there and be able to join the unions. So just, you know, not job creators, dude. But, you know, some people did work and they were grateful for it, but it's not as proposed on paper, dude. So back to these fucking gnarly diver dudes dropping dynamite. So sick, dude. What a great job. They've got to blast 50 feet down. So once you blast 50 feet down, they then build a steel and wood frame that gets built, like anchored in there on the bottom on the bedrock, and then pushed up above the current. And it's like hollowed out in the middle. So it's like, just imagine like an elliptical shape, like kind of what you would keep, just imagine like a box of cereal, you know, cut out the bottom and then make it like kind of sharp and stuff on the very bottom so it can get into that bedrock. They anchor it in, build a steel and wood frame, and it's hollowed out. So it's like almost like a, like imagine a small box of Cheerios and then the family box of Cheerios outside of it. So you can have that hollow area in the middle. And then the, of course, the big hollow area in the middle of the cereal boxes jammed in there, steel and wood structure. They raise it up above the sea level. Then they fucking pump the water out into the ocean and the bay and whatever, dude. And then they fill it in with cement and shit. And this is called a fender wall. So it's meant to fend off the currents. But the currents are so strong in the San Francisco Bay, just gnarly inward pressure, dude, that it's just not safe for the worker. So Joseph Strauss, genius, he invents something else. He takes these tubes. He takes a worker tube, a worker shaft, a material shaft, a blasting shaft, because they need to do more blasting down there, and fucking drops those puppies down very, very low, all the way to the ground level now, and it's just hollow, like there's ocean and bay all around these dudes, and then he drops a concrete slab above it to reinforce those fender walls, because the current is pushing in so, so hard. So the dudes that are working in and building this foundation, are not only going below the freaking water, they're now working below a slab, blasting water and digging down below the foundation. And then the freaking entire structure on purpose sinks with them, above them, gradually, like going deep, deep in, like even 50 feet into that strata below there to anchor this bridge. So, because this is your foundation, you need it to be super, super strong. And they do that where both towers are. So gnarly, bro. And that's just building the foundation, just doing that. But that's like what fascinated me, number one, was just like, how do they build those structures underwater? And it's pretty, they just displace the water, pump it, but then this used some extra engineering by using that concrete slab because the currents are so, so freaking gnarly and scary. And then you got to imagine just working in there, being all dark. You got to get in a tube to go to work, bro. Are you kidding me? No chance. 0% chance I'm going down there, dude. This is one of the first jobs also in history that required all hard hats. You know, I think you do want a hard hat. I guess like the number one injury is just stuff getting loose and swinging and hitting you in the dome. So you got to have hard hats, dude. One of the first times in history. So that just like, I never knew that that's how they did that, dude. Fender walls. And those fender walls like still exist. Like they still keep water off of that foundation. And you know, I'm sure they reinforce it and maintain it, but like super, super gnarly. Super, super gnarly currents. And then that foundation's fucking, you know, a couple hundred feet into that hard strata, dude. Just anchor it in there with steel and shit, dude, and reinforced with cement. So just super, super gnarly. Fender walls protect the foundation. And then on top of that, that's where you start building your towers, dude. Okay. We talked about the towers a little bit. It's cellular. It goes up 746 feet. That's optimal. And you want to go up high. You go, why do you even have these towers for a suspension bridge? You need to go vertical because the vertical angle displaces the amount of pressure being held on that portion of the bridge. So if it's like flat and it's just suspending something above it, it's going to bear all the weight. But dude, for some reason of fucking physics and math and shit, that's tight from dudes that are smart. They found that if like you build upwards, and it also just looked cool too. You build up and then get that. It just displaces that tension from that vertical angle and then all the way down to a, you know, more flat, linear, parallel angle to the roadway bridge. So super, super gnarly. You've got these giant ass anchor saddles. Everything's fucking, or cable saddles. Everything's big, dude. Let me just put it this way. Did you go see, have you seen the Golden Gate Bridge, Aaron?
Yeah. Like I said, I walked. So.
Oh yeah, you did. I forgot about that. Dude. Yeah. Sorry, dude. I was just fired up on bridges and so sad about my fantasy season that I forgot to even do that. Also, I don't even wear my headphones because I'm badass. It's basically like podcasting naked. I'm wearing no headphones. Pretty sick. Only time I wear my headphones is when I'm around my parents. Still do it. In my 30s at Thanksgiving, dude. Just want to have a bad attitude at Thanksgiving. Just wear headphones. You know, kind of just be like, don't talk to me at Thanksgiving dinner. You know, if I need someone to pass something, I just kind of look extra sad for a little bit or turn up my music louder. My Jax Mannequin, dude. And just turn it up even louder, dude. That's a band, dude, just so you know. And my dad will go, turn it down. I'll see that his mouth's moving. I'm going to go, what? I say, what? So you don't say what to me, what? Then I'll take off one headphone. And then before he can yell at me, I'll go, hey, pass the gravy. Then put my headphone back in and I'm like, fucking bitch. Classic, dude. Classic domination, dude. Classic, dude. And you know that the temperature gets cranked up at Thanksgiving dinner then, dude. Tension's high, dude. You don't want to be in that room, dude. Oh, dude. Kidding me, dude. Speaking of temperature, dude, now we're going to talk about thermal expansion. Okay? You got this foundation built by dudes that freaking jabbing sharks in the dome and dropping bombs. So sick. Then you got another crew of dudes building these fender walls, then guys going in there and digging the foundation above a slab that falls on, you know, gradually sinks, and this whole structure gradually sinks into the strata. So gnarly. Insane to even think of that, right? then it comes to building the actual bridge, right? So you've got your towers built. Now you need to build the bridge structure, the foundational structure that the road will go on top of, the freeway road will go on top of. And there's a lot of shit that goes into this. First of all, you need to build it in opposite directions simultaneously to maintain balance. You can't just build it all one way or the tower's going to fall that way. Everything is like thought of and mapped out to like specific precise angles, dude. It's very, very sick. And they're building in equal and opposite directions. And also you need to account for, it's insane because he's like, dude, Joseph Strauss says building a bridge is in these civil engineering feats are supposed to be built forever and are a testament to progress. And you better keep the future in mind when building it because there's something called thermal expansion, dude. Working with this much steel and concrete and everything, when and the elements of the San Francisco Bay Area, you've been there, it's got microclimates. It can be hot as hell one day and super, super cold in the same day, and that's going to cause the bridge to expand and contract by up to like 4 feet. And that doesn't sound like a lot on a tower that's 746 feet high, but little cracks like that and disintegrity in that structure could be devastation. So he has to keep this into mind. So he builds the bridge is actually built in seven separate sections. And every intersection of those seven sections, there's something called a finger expansion joint. So it's like, just take your fingers, stick them together like that. Not like you're going to drill yourself, but just like you're about to do like, you know, just board or something like that, you know. You're in class, you're in math class, not learning how to be Joseph Strauss, dude, and just put your fingers together and see like they can push together and get closer, and then you can pull them apart and they're still attached. That allows the bridge to expand and contract up to 4 feet at all of those areas. Then on top of that, where they lay the concrete and everything, every 50 feet, there's other little expansion, like smaller expansion joints between the concrete and steel so that the concrete doesn't crack. And like there's like reinforced rebar steel beneath the concrete. So it's all somewhat movable. Also, it helps with earthquakes. But it's to help curb something called thermal expansion. So, you know, he needs to do, Joseph Strauss and the whole construction team is dealing with all these issues when building this sick ass tower. And then you're like, dude, we got to worry about the weather now, dude. Get out of here, dude. You know, that's the only time when talking about weather just ain't small talk, baby. You know what I'm saying, dude? So that's like basically the fucking sick ass physics of building this bridge, dude. So gnarly, so tight. You got to take so much into account. Now let's get into these dudes and what it was like kind of building it, dude. But before we do that, let me once again remind you that dadgrass, dude, mellows you out while keeping your head in a clear and easy, stress-free environment, dude. Just so sick, dude. It's great any time of day. I like to do it out on the golf course with my boys, dude. Get those little pre-rolled joints, you know. Enjoy that. But also at the same time, now that I'm into planting seeds and wildflowers with my dank fiance, I'll go out on the balcony and just, you know, have some dadgrass, watch the flowers grow. You know what I'm saying, dude? Just take my time and kick back, bro. And it's amazing because you don't get too damn high. You know, you ditch the munchies, no paranoia and potency of today's weed with dadgrass. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff. So I know that I'm just kicking back, enjoying the CBD products of dadgrass that are made with 100% organic hemp. And it's easy to dose and the effects come on smooth, dude. It's that glass of wine, not the whole bottle. I can't say that enough. I love that, dude. Best part too, all dadgrass products are federally legal for ages 18 and over, and it ships right to your door anywhere in the U.S. That's so sick, dude. You have to worry about going into a store and hearing some guy's whole life story, dude. It just comes straight. Some guy, dude, dressed like Gimli, dude. Just, he's like, oh, dude, let me corner you real quick and tell you about my morning. Nope. Rather just get the product right at my door, dude, and enjoy my own morning. So Just fired up on that, dude. Fired up on watching Practical Magic with my dang fiance, enjoying some Dagrass, dude. Just knowing that I'm going to be fully not freaked out by the witches in that movie, because it's just no paranoia, and I'm really enjoying those pre-rolls. And remember, they also got the tinctures, which are sick too. So it's autumn now, so you can put those in your pumpkin spice. So go to dagrass.com/dank to check out their products. Right now, Dagrass is offering our listeners 20% off your first order when you go to dagrass.com/dank. Go to dagrass.com/dank for 20% off your first order. That's dagrass.com/dank. Also, dude, do you ever wake up, speaking of mornings, with a massive hangover and wish you didn't? Or do you not go out and drink with your friends because you're scared of waking up with a hangover? Well, now there's a quick and cost-effective solution. Check out Adultolite Hangover Recovery. Not only does it cure your hangover within 30 minutes, but it includes two liver detoxifiers to protect your liver and rapid rehydration. Excuse me, just rapid hydration and lasting energy, dude. So, like I mentioned, dude, I went out hard with my boy Nick, dude. Enjoyed this. Enjoyed Adultolite afterwards. I had the dank tropical mimosa flavor. Really liked it. Unicorn candy. They also got lemony kick it. So there's a delicious flavor for you. It's got a 4.9 rating and 25,000 customers since their launch. So Adultolite is quickly becoming the go-to hangover solution. It's my hangover solution. And I'm telling you right now, dude, I'm one of those dudes that there's some guys who just have a constitution. You know what I mean? It's like they could eat a raw egg, you know? They would always tell you about it. Like, oh, dude, I just wake up, I go play racquetball, and then, you know, I'm fine. And I'm like, yeah, dude, that doesn't work for me, dude. I'll wake up and I'll feel terrible. You know, it ruins my next day. And honestly, I'm not even having that many drinks. I'm just kind of, you know, just kind of is a bummer, dude. Takes you out of your whole day. Your mood is down. But, dude, with Adultolite, I enjoyed it, dude. Gave myself the scoop. Nice amount of water, bro. Measured it out, dude. They make it easy for you to measure it out and everything. Comes with a nice, easy scooper, dude. And honestly, the can that it comes in looks pretty sick. I've thought about using it as decor. And put that right in there. And I'm feeling good, dude. You know, I know that I'm going to wake up fine because my hangover gets me the next day. And when I wake up, dude, after having a fun night out and then can have a great morning with my dank fiance the next day, walk the dog, feeling good, ready to rock and roll, fired up on that. So go to adultdelight.com and enter the discount code DANK35 and save 35% off today. Dude, eliminate your headache, fatigue, and nausea and vomiting, dude. Lasting energy, rapid hydration, reduced brain fog, and honestly, dude, metabolizes alcohol faster, dude, 14 times faster, so helps you sober up. So go to adultolite.com and enter discount code DANK35 and save 35% off today. All right, dude, let's talk about what it was like yesteryear working this job, dude. Like I mentioned, dude, 1 in 4 people were unemployed at this time, dude. Dudes were happy to be on this bridge and have a job, any job. And you believe me, if you're afraid of heights, you're getting up there. No, thank you, dude. Dudes would lie about iron work. I told you that. When construction started in January 1933, Aaron, how much would you go up there and be like, dude, I want you to climb up that Golden Gate Bridge. Also, which was on your time. You would punch in when you got to the top of the bridge. It took about half hour to get up there in the elevators. So that's whack. The guys weren't even getting paid to be able to, like, already putting yourself at risk getting in those elevators. They're rickety, dude. You watch those old videos. It's like one cable, two dudes fitting it, like one of those like weight displacement things on the other end. Dude, it's windy as hell up there, bro. It's San Francisco. How much you got to do? How much are we talking, Aaron?
That they'd have to pay me?
Yeah.
Oh. Several thousand dollars.
Dudes, we get paid $4 to $11 per day.
Wow.
That's about, in today's dollars, like, I don't know, somewhere between 60 and 150 bucks, something like that.
So, like, somewhere between an extra and a PA.
Exactly. I'd much rather go to Starbucks and get the director a latte than go up an elevator and get blown off by a gust of wind and dead. Yeah. Dropping to the being shark food an hour later. There was a quote saying the fog would come in and go out, come in, go out all day long. And they said when it was wet, the iron is just like ice and it's pretty chancy. You have to walk around so much you know, going back and forth, or Wendy's were conditioned, a gust could come along and literally blow you right off. I want to get blown off, but I don't want to get blown off of a bridge, Aaron.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah.
And I'm a pervert.
Yeah.
Okay. Joseph Strauss took this into account. You know, maybe these guys were getting underpaid, you know, they're contractored. You got Bethlehem Steel, then you got the cement mixers, you know, they're the ones paying out the unions and stuff. He invented, and this was an innovation at the time, a safety net. It was cantilevered, which sounds sick, underneath the entire bridge during roadway construction. So, you know, here's the thing. When you're putting the saddle, you know, straps up on top of the tower and you're in those cells, you don't have a safety net. You know, you've got like a climbing belt and you're attached or whatever if you fall. But the safety net only came into account for dudes that were working on that bridge. And if you're up laying the cable up high doing that, yeah, you still don't have the safety net. But when you're laying the roadway and stuff and paving, there you do have a safety net for when you fall. And 19 dudes fell into it. Cheating death.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's 19 guys that would have been dead, and they called themselves the Halfway to Hell Club, which is pretty awesome. And the net actually boosted workers' morale, and it became an attraction. It was so awesome that the bridge got built faster because the net felt safer. So it was actually a really good call by Joseph Strauss. They had to ban people like showboats, and they said the showboats and wannabes, club wannabes, would just come up there and fall into it so they could like on purpose just be like, oh, dude, yeah, man, I fell in it. And like if you fell in there on purpose and they could prove that you did it on purpose or for fun or whatever, immediately kicked off the job. But there was an incident where 10 men were killed. 12 men fell into the net. And but a big ass piece of equipment came with it, so like it broke the those cantilevers, and they fell 220 feet into the bay, and the water was super. Dude, that water is cold, bro. This is NorCal, yeah. Dude. Saying SoCal, dude. This is NorCal, cold ass water. 10 men died, sadly. 2 lived. One of this guy Lambert. He was the foreman of a stripping crew. His name is Slim Lambert. Great name.
Yeah.
Why is that guy not playing shortstop for like, you know, were the Giants even in San Francisco at that time, Aaron?
Yeah.
Love that.
Wait,
you know
no.
That.
No, they got there in the late 50s.
Love that. I should know that because I remember we looked that up. This guy, Slim Lambert, is 26 and is fortunately a strong swimmer, so he's able to untangle himself. He was knocked unconscious. He was hitting like knocked unconscious going down, so he's like, I don't even remember the fall. He's like, I just remember coming to and being in the coldest ass water. It's like the water woke me up, and he had to free himself from the net underwater, and he's a good ass swimmer, luckily. Suffered a broken shoulder, several ribs, and a neck, and several vertebrae, dude. Whew. But he lived to tell the tale. So project had a near perfect safety record. One single catastrophe nearly obliterates it. So super gnarly conditions, dude, that they're working under. It's the Great Depression. You got to just go out there. Maybe you've got a family. Who the hell knows what's going on? And, dude, you watch these videos, bro. These old-timey black and white videos. You know, you're expecting fucking Charlie Chaplin to come bouncing around on the construction site or some shit. But, dude, you got this crane that looks like something out of the Wild Wild West. Probably some people that were really into steampunk got off watching the construction of this bridge. I'd imagine that. You know, some dudes that had very slim builds. I always like every time like I used to do a show at Second City here in LA, and there was a night called Necromance at a bar next door, and it was a lot of just 6'6" dudes with piercings in leather, you know, just kind of hanging around drinking drinks that looked like potions. And I was like, this is pretty tight, dude. So I hung around, talked to some dudes, and I was like, hey, you got any low post moves? And they're like, no, but if you want, you can peg me later. And I'm like, whoa, that's pretty gnarly. That's pretty chill. Thank you for that, dude. Thank you for that trust and thank you for that talk. But honestly, dude, you know, maybe, you know, I'd like to see you on the low block. You'd like to see me pegging him, dude. And that's tight. Never took up the opportunity. And here's the thing. I had a dank fiance at the time. Maybe, you know, had I not, and I drank some of that potion, I might have been in the mood. So all I'm saying is I bet there was a lot of 6'6 dudes who were into drinking potions and pegging, definitely watching dudes lay rivets on that friggin' bridge. So that's friggin' tight. You know, there's multiple ways to enjoy the architecture. That's the thing that I'm learning now is, you know, to make it, bring it full circle. These structures are meant to be appreciated by all, you know, all of us, you know, maybe we didn't go and build a bridge and make it with our hands, the sense of pride that all these men who risked their lives and lied about their jobs so they could feed their families, really have to have a sense of accomplishment for building this bridge. And I think it's just so dank. I watch it and I go, man, this is just so sick. What a testament to human progress and civil engineering. I'm into civil engineering now. What will we do next, man? It kind of just really brings us together, you know, physically by connecting the two sides of the bay, but also metaphorically by being like, man makes tight stuff. And that's what I love, dude. You know, the combined effort of engineers, architects, geologists, professionals, perverts watching who like getting pegged. And maybe they're not even perverts. I shouldn't say that. I'm the pervert. Dudes that are 6'6 and enjoy wearing tight leather and pegging, watching from afar while sipping potions. I mean, it's just enjoyed by the masses. These massive structures meant to be enjoyed and utilized by the masses for time to come. And perhaps the best way to close out today's episode is maybe with a quote from Levi Strauss. I was going to read his whole poem. He wrote, written upon completion of the bridge in 1937. Maybe I'll read it quickly before we bone out, and then we'll skip questions. I am the thing that men denied, the right to be, the urge to live, and I am that which men defied. Yet I ask not for what I give. My arms are flung across the deep, into the clouds my towers soar, and where the waters never sleep, I guard the California shore. Above the fogs of scorn and doubt, triumphant gleams my web of steel. Still shall I ride the wind, the wild storms out, and still the thrill of conquest feel. The passing world may never know the epic of my grim travail. It matters not, nor friend or foe, my place to serve and none to fail. My being cradled in despair, now grown so wondrous, fair and strong, and glorified beyond compare, rebukes the error and the wrong. Vast shafts of steel, wave-battered pier, and all the splendor meant to be, windswept and free, these, year on year, shall chant my hymn of victory. Fucking dank. Fucking dank, dude. Bridge got built, dude. So I'm fired up on that, dude. Aaron, I hope you're fired up.
Oh, absolutely.
Dude, this is just so sick. Watch these vids on YouTube. It's just so gnarly. You know, if you got any more facts about the bridge, dude, send them in, dude. It's so big. There are bigger ones now, but this was really the bridge of all bridges. You know, there's also arc bridges and straight up regular beam bridges, but this freaking suspension bridge, and for my money, the prettiest, the most aesthetically pleasing as well. So also the paint, I forgot to mention that, is protects against erosion and stuff. So, and it's an international color meant to bring everyone together. They picked that color. I guess internationally people were like survey, they were like, that's tight. So fired up on that. Fired up on bridges, dude. Stay stoked. Freaking Dankatorians, question, comment, suggestions, write in. Sorry we didn't get into any today, but I was just fired up, but we did read a poem. That's sick. Check out the Patreon, Strider, Patreon.com/StriderWilson, and freaking stay stoked. Let's